This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Wednesday, November 21st, 2012. In the last month, Colorado's unemployment rate decreased 0.1% to 7.9%. That's down 0.2% from a year ago. According to the State Labor Department, the decrease was caused by more people reporting their status as employed than those actively participating in the labor force. The national unemployment rate increased 0.1% over the same period to 7.9%. In the KVNF listening area, the unemployment rates for October were as follows. Delta County, 7.4%. Montrose County, 9.5%. Ouray County, 6.3%. San Miguel County, 7.5%. And Hinsdale County, 3.8%. Mesa County's unemployment rate was up 0.2% to 8.3%. The State Labor Department reports that over the year, the average hourly earnings increased by 36 cents. A proposal to lease thousands of acres in the North Fork Valley for oil and gas development is back. Delta County commissioners were among many who expressed concern and opposition to the original proposal last year. KVNF's Marty Derlin reports that the commissioners once again plan to give the BLM their input.
During the past year, the BLM received nearly 3,000 comments in response to its proposal to lease parcels in the North Fork Valley. Many residents signed petitions against gas development and attended meetings to further voice their opposition. Some even visited officials in Washington, D.C. to lodge their protests. After withdrawing all of the parcels earlier this year to do further analysis, last week the agency released a new plan. It eliminates some contested parcels from its scheduled sale in February of 2013, but leaves more than 20,000 acres on the chopping block. Delta County commissioners were among those who protested leasing parcels near the Paonia Reservoir and next to schools in Crawford and Hotchkiss. They were also concerned about development on steep slopes. At Monday's meeting, County Oil and Gas Liaison Bruce Bertram told commissioners that all of the parcels they were concerned about had been eliminated.
Comparing to what we had addressed as being concerns, it seems like most of them have been taken care of in that regard by the removal, not mitigation. The actual removal of it and not using lease notices and lease stipulations.
Bertram also drew the commissioner's attention to the part of the BLM's lengthy environmental review that deals with socioeconomic issues in the county. Many who protested the leases were concerned that the North Fork's thriving organic farms, ranches, and vineyards, as well as real estate values in general, would be negatively affected by gas development.
You know, the socioeconomic part of it there is kind of a blanket thing. It covers all of it. It's not lease specific. And so I really would, you probably should go look at that section and see how that fits with your thoughts in that area.
Bertram also reminded commissioners that issues related to pad development, directional drilling, and new fracking technologies would be addressed if and when the parcels are leased.
One of the key issues here are those things that are addressed by stipulation and notices on the lease versus those things that are site-specific, like those would be on an application for permit to drill. That would cover the construction, the location, and also the access roads and things of that nature.
Bertram did not recommend that the commissioners protest any of the remaining lease parcels. But commissioners are braced for more public pressure, as Commissioner Bruce Hovde joked with County Administrator Robbie LaValle.
You think we might hear from constituents?
Just a few.
The commissioners will meet with Bertram again in 3 weeks to prepare their comments to the BLM by the December 17th deadline. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
A similar process has recently completed in the Durango area, where the Bureau of Land Management released a final environmental assessment for the leasing of 12 parcels covering more than 12,000 acres in southwest Colorado. Low-flowing rivers and streams in the state got a boost this summer from a first-of-its-kind water leasing program. From Aspen Public Radio, Marcy Krivenin has the story.
The so-called Request for Water initiative called on water rights holders to voluntarily give up unused water for the health of streams.
We needed senior water rights that would still yield some water even in a really dry year. And we didn't know how many people would be willing to do it because we'd never really done anything like this before.
Zach Smith is the staff attorney for the Colorado Water Trust, the group that jump-started the water leasing program from a 10-year-old never-used law. Extreme drought conditions this year forced down stream flows and warmed up water, threatening fish. So the group came up with a solution. The Request for Water program stemmed from a law crafted following the 2002 drought. It was meant to deal with emergency water situations, and it wasn't needed until this year. The first water leasing happened on the Yampa River, which flows through Steamboat Springs.
We had a lot of community buy-in where they were really nervous about the flow levels in their community's river.
The Upper Yampa Water Conservancy District offered to lease 4,000 acre-feet of water from a nearby reservoir. Kevin McBride is the Conservancy District's general manager.
The district had water available from a previous contractee who had not renewed their contract. The board decided that for 1 year, they could make a lease to the Colorado Water Trust.
The Water Trust paid for the water. Ranchers, districts, and other entities stepped up to offer. Overall, the program added water to more than 190 stream and river miles this summer. In a drought year, Zach Smith with the Water Trust says the program is another tool to maintain a healthy environment.
This law has been on the books for about 10 years, but it took a pretty bad year like this, and then folks like my boss thinking about how we can use the drought as an opportunity to show that there's some laws on the books that would really help.
He says this program will likely be used in another dry season. The trust is already monitoring snowpack levels this year. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Marcy Krivenin.
In more water news, the United States and Mexico have signed a historic agreement on the Colorado River. According to the Colorado Water Conservation Board, the agreement furthers the commitments of both countries to the 1944 water treaty between the U.S. and Mexico, while recognizing that increasing water demands on the Colorado River will require creativity and flexibility. Under this 5-year agreement, Mexico has committed to accept voluntary shortages when Lake Mead reaches certain levels, while gaining opportunities to receive surplus water under certain conditions. The agreement also includes a water conservation demonstration project, salinity management language, potential opportunities for Mexico to release its storage for environmental flows in Mexico, and the opportunity for Mexico to store some of its treaty allocation for delivery in subsequent years. Jennifer Gimbel, director of the Colorado Water Conservation Board, called the agreement monumental and said it's important to Colorado for furthering the state's ability to work collaboratively with the entire river basin, including Mexico, quote, to allow finite resources to be shared during surplus conditions and reduced in times of shortages, end quote. Meanwhile, on Monday, federal water managers and scientists began ratcheting up releases from Glen Canyon Dam as part of a 5-day experiment to push sediments down the Colorado River in hopes of restoring sandbars that play a vital ecological role in the river channel. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar said this week's high flow releases, designed to mimic the pre-dam natural flooding, mark an historic milestone for river management. Salazar was on site Monday to personally trigger the releases at noon. According to the Salt Lake Tribune, the Federal Bureau of Reclamation began experimenting with high flows in 1996. This week's event is only the 4th experiment. The others occurred in 2004 and 2008. Under the new protocols announced by Salazar in May, high-flow releases are expected to occur as often as once or twice a year, depending upon the accumulation of downstream sediments. Scientists will closely monitor the effects of these high flows for the next several years and watch for positive and negative effects. Their findings will help guide a long-standing adaptive management strategy for the Colorado River. Before the 1966 completion of the 710-foot-high Glen Canyon Dam, which forms Lake Powell, massive floods roared through the Glen and Grand Canyons, with flows in excess of 50,000 cubic feet per second occurring most years, and in excess of 125,000 cubic feet per second every 8 years on average. Millions of tons of eroded sediment were pushed downstream, creating a rich network of sandbars that supported fish and riparian communities along the Grand Canyon's floor, as well as great camping spots for river runners. The dam impounds 95% of the natural sediment flow and then releases water at a steady rate of 7,000 to 9,000 cubic feet per second, which prevents sediments from being pushed downstream. Flows Monday increased to 42,000 cubic feet per second before ramping down beginning Tuesday, and this will continue until the experiment's conclusion on Friday. According to the Bureau of Reclamation spokeswoman Lisa Eames, the level of Lake Powell will drop 2.5 feet, but the experiment will have no impact on the long-term level of the lake. The Western Area Power Administration, the federal agency that markets the dam's electricity, estimated the value of the power that won't be generated as a result of outflows bypassing the turbines at $1.4 million. And finally, Thanksgiving weekend marks the start of Colorado Department of Transportation's annual winter programs. They're designed to help keep traffic moving and maintain safety along the West Interstate 70 corridor. Heavy Tow is a program designed to promptly clear large trucks from the highway. United States Auto Club is providing standby heavy wreckers this winter at strategic locations on I-70. Up to 5 wreckers can be dispatched quickly to move commercial vehicles from traffic lanes to a safe location during weekends and holidays. The Courtesy Patrol Program, begins on Friday. It offers free roadside assistance to drivers of passenger and other small vehicles for services such as flat tires, fuel or water transfer, jump starts, short distance towing, accident scene protection, and minor mechanical assistance. 3 pickups and a tow truck patrol I-70 between the top of Floyd Hill and Vail, looking for disabled vehicles. Truck personnel also respond to requests from the Colorado State Patrol, local police, or the Eisenhower Tunnel. Courtesy Patrol operates primarily on weekends, including the holiday weekends of Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and President's Day. Road, weather, and additional traveler information is available at www.cotrip.org. That's C-O-T-R-I-P, cotrip.org. Or by calling 511 on your cell phone or via email. This concludes the morning newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.